welcome to this recording. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of the Christian Growth. ABCs of Christian Growth, that is. Where last week we began the letter B, and we're talking about the book, talking about the Bible. And we went over the introduction to introducing the Bible, but we began, if you remember, talking about final authority. And I hope that you've thought on that and that you've decided that the Word of God is going to be your final authority until the Word Himself incarnate, Jesus Christ, gets here and comes and gets us, and we get to live with Him forevermore, the Bible says. You know, last week I was talking about them high priests, or the priests, you remember? And I told you that I was trying to look up a word, or trying to think of a word, to where the Lord was reprimanding them, if you remember. Well, I found the word, and it's called Corban. Corban. And you've probably already looked it up, or maybe you already knew it, but that's the way your mind gets when you get old. But you can look the word up. They even use the word today. You can in a dictionary, Corban, and it's an offering to God by the ancient Hebrews. And that was what those priests were doing. They were telling the people that they were making loopholes to get around doing the laws. What it was, and they were giving the people permission, leading them in a wrong way, and telling the people that they could give their money as an offering, Corban, and give it as an offering, rather than taking care of their mom and daddy when they're old. So that was it. And I told you I'd look it up, and I did. But the Lord Jesus Christ reprimanded them for that. And I don't remember what it was we was talking about exactly at the time, but that was the meat of it right there. But today we're talking about your authority. I hope that you've decided that the Word of God's going to be your authority and what God says. And in order for God to be your authority, you need to know what God has said, or what God says. So that's why we're getting into the Bible with the ABCs of Christian growth. If you remember when we started talking about this, that was what we was going to refer to about everything. Was that King James Bible? We're not going to assume that God has said anything or what we think about something. We're going to get in the book and find out what it says about an issue. And when you find that we're going through these ABCs, we're going to go over a whole lot of different things. And you're going to be surprised about what the Bible says about some things. And you're happy about some of them and not so happy about the other ones. But nevertheless, we're going to go by what God says, and we're going to adjust to what the book says. We're not going to make the book adjust to us. You see, that's the difference. So, final authority is where we have begun, and we're going to go into this study with the Bible itself being our authority. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is, what is the Bible? What is the Bible? Well, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Bible has something to do with our faith, and it has something to do with what we need to hear in order to have the faith that we need to be saved, the Bible says. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." There's that faith again. But it says unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Is it in Christ Jesus, or is it in the Word of God? Well, you can't separate the two, because Jesus said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Are you getting that? We see how close that written word, that Bible, is, and how important it is, because it is Jesus' words in written form, and He is the incarnate Word in the Godhead bodily. So when we're talking about the Bible, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ's words. And so that's what the Bible is. The Bible is the Word of the living God, Jesus Christ Himself. Now, the Bible says, the Bible is a collection of 66 books, 66 separate books divided into two major sections known as the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's other names that are scriptural that you can use when referring to the Word of God. One of them is the Word of God itself, rather than Bible, the Word of God itself. Or the Holy Scriptures. When the Bible itself talks about itself, it uses the words Holy Scriptures. Now, the Bible's a source book of our knowledge of God. We need to be thankful for the Word of God to begin with, because if it wasn't for God giving us some, can you imagine if God had decided to leave us down here without any kind of reference about Him at all? I mean, if you look at it, that's all man's mission in life is to find out what the answers are. The answers to what? To the God out there. The answers to the higher power, how they say it, you know. The Bible's the source book of our knowledge of God, according to Psalm 119, 130. And the Bible is the scientific textbook of divine truth. It tells us the facts. I mean, there's things in the Bible that were said 1,500 years ago that men are just now finding out, and they think they just now discovered something, according to Psalm 119, 151. The Bible is a guidebook to everlasting life. It's what leads us to everlasting life, according to Psalm 119, 155. The Holy Ghost draws us to the Father. Jesus said, "No man comes unto me, no man comes unto the Father except through Him." And the Holy Ghost draws us to His Word, to Jesus' Word. The word Bible's derived from a Greek word. Now, I don't speak Greek, and I don't think I'm ever going to study it. I don't think I'm ever going to go through it, because I don't have any desire. I speak English, and God gave me a Bible in English, so I don't really need to know it. But there are some Greek words that we need to know that don't hurt to know, you know, just here and there. But the Bible, the word Bible itself's derived from a Greek word called biblios. And it simply means a book. That's what the word means, a book, or means book. The Bible is known by other such titles in the Scriptures, like we was talking about a while ago, as Holy Scriptures. It's called the Word of God. It's called the Scriptures in Luke 4:21. It's called the Oracles of God in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 12. In Luke 8:21, it's called the Word of God again, and it's also called His Writings in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 7. So you would be scriptural to use these titles when you're talking about the Word of God. There are some other religions, or if you want to call them religions or whatever they are, cults that have names for the Word of God that are completely not scriptural, and we should not use those. Now, how did we receive? Well, still talking about what is the Bible. The books of the Bible are not arranged. Remember, we talked there's 66 books arranged in one book. Now, that's amazing by itself, isn't it? 66 books arranged in one book called the Old and the New Testaments. Now, the books of the Bible are not arranged chronologically. In other words, as they were written, as they come about, but rather topically. Both the Testaments have their books set in groups, in order, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. All new Christians experience difficulty at first, and you know, when you're sitting in church and you're just brand new Christian, I don't know how long you've been saved, but or how long you've been studying your Bible, but don't worry about it. You have trouble flipping and turning, but that's half the fun of it, is finding God's Word, and you get used to it, and then you get to, don't be embarrassed a bit about it. There's an index in the front of your Bible, use it. Don't mind what anybody says or anything like that. Just get in there and use it. Excuse me. Now, the Bible was written by 36 to 40 authors over a period of 1,600 years. Do you hear that? Over a period of 1,600 years by three different types of people on three different continents. Now, only God could do something like that. We're talking about one book with 66 different books written by 36 to 40 authors over 1,600 years from three different types of people from three different continents. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? There ain't no other book on the planet that can claim that. Now, it fulfills a function which no other book in the world fulfills. There's never been any other book that showed up on this earth written in by 40 different men through a period of 1,600 years on three different continents. That's amazing. The unique design of the Bible is one of the best proofs of its divine inspiration. For so many men to write a book without contradiction is a miracle. And a miracle can only be explained by a master hand guiding the writers. You know that. I believe that God wrote the book through God the Holy Ghost, inspiring men to write down God's words through men's personalities and characters and the way that they were, and put them down exactly like He wanted them, exactly like He meant them to be. And you should believe that also, because that's what God did. Now, the cardinal theme of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the key to understanding the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is the outstanding doctrine of the Bible is the kingdom, the authority of God Almighty versus the devil. Remember when you was a child and you say good or bad and the devil, and remember them cartoons where you'd sit there and watch them, and then one of the characters in the cartoon would be thinking about whether to do good or whether to do bad, and then a devil would go poof and come up on his shoulder, and then an angel would come up on the other shoulder. Same thing, cardinal theme, or outstanding doctrine of the Bible is the authority of God versus the devil. The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, with parts of Daniel and Ezra being written in Aramaic. Just a very small portion, but parts of it being written in Aramaic. The New Testament was originally written in street-speaking Koine Greek. And Koine, that's K-O-I-N-E. You probably already know. And if I say something that don't sound right, you just write me and tell me, and I'll correct it. But I looked that up to find out what it meant, because I ain't smart enough to know what it meant. And all it means is just street speaking, just the regular language that was used at that time by the majority of the people. People walk around, and when they talk to each other, and from this side of the city to the other side of the city, or whoever talked to whoever, the regular street speaking Greek was that. And that's what your New Testament was originally written in. So, the layout of the Bible, let's talk about that just a minute. It's written, like we said, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament comes in 39 books, and the New Testament is 27 books. Now, in the Old Testament, there's four different categories. Excuse me for my coughing. I got a little problem with my goozle, and it's going to be all right. But the Old Testament comes in four different breakdowns, if you will. One of them's called the Law or the Writings. Jesus called them the Writings every now and then, and that's five different books, which is Genesis through Deuteronomy. And then we got the History books, which is 12 different books, and that's Joshua through Esther. And then you got what you call the poetical books, or the wisdom books, or Jesus called them the Psalms. And that's five different books, and that's Job through the Song of Solomon. And then we got the prophecy book, which is, of course, called the prophets. And the prophets are split in two different arrangements, and the difference in them is the major prophets and the minor prophets. And don't let that throw you off. That's not any kind of big college-educated thing to know. It's just as simple as it can be. The difference in the major and the minor prophets is simply the length of the letter. They used to write on scrolls, and they'd roll them up, remember? Well, if you took two scrolls and you took the end of it and you threw them down on the ground so they'd unroll, and when they unrolled, one of them was longer than the other one, say twice as long as the other one when it finally got rolled all the way out. Well, the longer one would be a major prophet and the shorter one would be a minor prophet. That's the difference between a major and a minor prophet, was the length of the letter. One man wasn't better than the other, or prophesied better than the other, or greater than the other, even though when the Lord spoke of them, whether they were good or bad prophets, you know. But in the Bible, the definition of a major and minor prophet is just simply the length of the letter. Now, splitting them into major and minor prophets, the major had 5 books. The minor prophets had 12 books. And the major prophets with the 5 books was Isaiah through Daniel. And the minor prophets that had 12 books, or has 12 books, is the book of Hosea through Malachi. And those are the minor prophets. And you'll notice it when you get in the Word of God and you start reading these prophets and reading these books, you'll notice the difference in the length of the letter. That some of them have 2 or 3 chapters and some of them have 66 chapters, like Isaiah. Now, that's the breakdown of the Old Testament. Now, from the close of the Old Testament, which is Malachi, the last book in our Old Testament, to the birth of Jesus Christ, which was in Matthew, which is in Matthew, recorded in Matthew, the first book of our New Testament, is what is called the silent years. There's a period of about 400 to 430 years that went by that are called the silent years, where God did not communicate with man. And, excuse me. And then we have the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ came, was incarnated, was born in the flesh, God in the flesh. He died, was buried, and was resurrected. And then he left behind some fellows, our apostles and the writers of our New Testament, and they recorded our New Testament. Now, the New Testament has 27 books, and they're broke down also in 4 different categories, like the Old Testament was. The Old Testament, remember, was the writings of the law, the history books, the poetical wisdom or the Psalms books, and the prophets. Now, the New Testament has 4 different categories. One of them's called the Gospels. The Gospels consist of 4 different books, which is Matthew through John. And then we have what we call the transitional book. It's a history book. It's kind of like a teeter-totter or what you call one of those seesaws. It's kind of like from one transition to another. It's from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It shows us how a transition is made. What kind of transition? Old Testament salvation to New Testament salvation. Old Testament ways to New Testament ways. And that is one book in the New Testament, which is the book of Acts. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. The third category in the New Testament that is broken down is called the epistles. And don't let that word throw you either, because epistles just simply means letter. It means letters. You sit down and you got a brother or sister that you need to write, and you sit down and you start that letter and you write it and you go ahead and finish it up, and then you put your ending on it and you put it in an envelope and you send it. You have created an epistle. It's a letter. That's simply all it means. Now, when it comes to that category in epistles, it breaks into two different categories of epistles. One of them is called the Pauline epistles, and I bet you can guess what that means. It's just simply that Paul wrote these letters, okay? And the other section that it is broken into is called the general epistles. In other words, there were other writers other than Paul, okay? So the Pauline, the epistles are broken into two, one called Pauline, one called general, okay? And the Pauline epistles, there are 14 books, and those are the books of Romans through Hebrews. Now, in the general epistles, there are 7 books. Now, I'll tell you about that later. There's one book, there's a couple books in there that like, for instance, Hebrews. Some people would say that Hebrews, we don't exactly know who wrote Hebrews. Hebrews does not tell us who wrote it. But I know who I believe wrote it, and there are others that have their opinion about who wrote it, but it doesn't matter. God decided that the Holy Ghost decided he didn't want us to know who the true author was, so we shouldn't strive to try to outwit the Lord. We ought to just take God's word as it says, but a lot of people think that Paul wrote it, so it's in the Pauline epistles, as I gave it to you just now, 14. But now, if it wasn't written by Paul, then it would be a general epistle, and it would be in the general category, okay? So we just leave it at that, because that's the way it is. All right, but in the general epistles, without the book of Hebrews, is 7 books, and those are James through Jude. James through Jude. And then we have one book, other category. We have the Gospels, we have the transitional book, a history book, the Acts of the Apostles, remember? And then we have the epistles, Pauline and general epistles. Okay, and the last category that we have in the New Testament, where the books are broken down, is called a prophecy book. And that prophecy book is one book by itself, and that is the book of Revelation. It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And there it is. That's how our Old Testament and our New Testament are broken down. All 66 books, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. The Old Testament broken down with the writings, the history books, the wisdom books or poetical books, the prophecy or the prophets. The New Testament broken down into the Gospels, the transitional book or the history book of the Acts of the Apostles, and the epistles, which are Pauline and general epistles, and then prophecy. So I want to ask you a question. What's the difference in major and minor prophets? Did you remember? The difference in major and minor prophets is just simply the length of the letter. The length of the letter, remember? Okay, and what's the difference in, we said that the Pauline epistles and the general epistles, what's the difference in them? One letter was written by Paul, or if it's in the Pauline epistles, and one letter was written by other writers than Paul, if it's in the general epistles. Okay, and what does epistle mean? Epistle just simply means letters, right? A letter. Okay, good. Man, you're doing good. Okay, so the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15. Now, remember what we're talking about. We're talking about what is the Bible. The Bible, the Old Testament, was originally written in Hebrew, remember, and with parts of Daniel and Ezra. Remember what it was written in, parts of it written in? Aramaic. Right. And we don't speak, I don't know if you do, but I don't, and I don't ever see me speaking it. I might speak Hebrew sometime in my life when I go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what we speak in heaven is Hebrew. The Lord spoke Hebrew. Excuse me. On the cross he spoke Hebrew, didn't he? Okay. The New Testament was originally written in street speaking. How about that? Street speaking, Koine, what was it? Greek. That's right. So we don't speak a Greek, we speak a English. And we're not ashamed of that, and neither is the Lord. He's the one that made the languages. Remember, he's the one that understands. He understands, and he can write a book in English if he wants to, and he has. Now, how did we receive the Bible? The Bible's not just a book; it's the book. It's different from any other book that has or ever will be written. The Bible is a supernatural book because of the way that God gave it to mankind. And it's a supernatural book because of its existence. If you spend any time with the Word of God, you're going to find out that that book is indeed alive, just like God says it is. It liveth and abideth forever. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 said, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, what's the Bible teaching us in 2 Peter right there? That man didn't sit down and say, "I'm going to write a book about God," and start sitting down and putting his words and his thoughts and his senses down on paper about God, to leave a book behind about who is God and what's God about and where'd God come from and where's God going and all this. Man didn't do it. It didn't come by the will of man. The Bible says it didn't. It says the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men. Now, men were involved in the construction of the Bible, in part of the way that God, in other words, God used men in bringing his written word about, but it was not the will of man that brought it about. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, according to that verse, who was in control? As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was in control of the words that were put in that book, right? That's what it says, so that's what we're going to believe. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, the Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." So where are you putting your stocks? Where are you putting all your valuables and your affections? Are you putting them down here on this earth? You're wasting your time. The Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Who identified himself with these words? Jesus Christ did. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Jesus identified himself with specific words that he is talking to us about, that he knew that we were going to be able to read and see. He said, why would he bother telling us that heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my word shall not pass away, if he was not going to identify his word with us? If he wasn't going to share his word with us, what was the reason for him even telling us about his word at all? There wasn't any reason. He knew that he was going to give us his written word, so therefore he told us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So there's the Lord's opinion about his word to begin with, you see. So we're getting into time here, so what we're going to do is... We're gonna stop right there, and we'll pick up on how did we receive the Bible, and we'll talk about inspiration. We'll talk about what inspiration means, and we'll talk about other things. having to do with the scriptures, of how God used human writers and how God authored the Bible, which was, like I said, through inspiration, and we'll explain some of that. And then if we have time, we'll go into another part of our study of the Bible, which is, do we have the Bible today? And a lot of these might be questions that that the enemy might be hounding you about or tempting you about the Bible. You know, like when we first started this this study, I told you that the one of the things that the enemy is going to continually try to take from you is the Word of God. He knows what the Bible is. He knows what that Bible is. And he knows that you are no good without it. And we're no good anyway, but we're especially no good without God's Word. We won't know anything without God's Word. We won't have the truth. We won't know anything without God's Word. God's Word is everything to us. Now, be careful. This book's habit forming. There's a little saying that says this book is habit forming. Regular use causes loss of anxiety, decreased appetite for lying and cheating and stealing and hating, and the symptoms of it is increased sensation of love, peace, joy, and compassion. Sounds like one of the better warnings that we need to, instead of all them other ones that you get on your drug packages and on side of cigarette packages and stuff, huh? This book's habit forming. Regular use causes loss of anxiety, decreased appetite for lying, cheating, and stealing and hating, and symptoms is increased sensations of love, peace, joy, and compassion. Well, here's some scriptures. We didn't use very many this time, but we've got a lot of scriptures that we will use during this study. We talked about what is the Bible. We used Romans chapter 10, verse 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And then we talked about how did we receive the Bible just briefly, and we used 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. So I hope that you've been inspired a little bit today, and it's kind of the enemy, he fights two things that I've seen all the time. I mean, that are not chancy. I mean, he definitely, if he's not personally there, he has some of his devils. Angels, unclean spirits, he has them there to during the teaching of it, and that is anytime you try to teach about the devil, or you try to teach about Satan, or you try to teach about the Word of God, you have adversity. So if it seems kind of mixed up, it's not. But we just take it as the Lord gives it to us from His Word, scripture with scripture. Okay? So I thank you for listening to this, and it'll get even better and the next recording, and I hope you'll listen to it. God bless you. Bye-bye.